celebration of the Feast of Tabernacle and just stayed in the presence of God with repentance. And so I have titled this Confessing, Israel Confesses Their Sin, the importance of confession. Children of God needs to understand that confession is important and is key in our life. We serve a very holy God. We serve a God that has a very high standards. And as human beings, there are times when we go against him. And it is only befitting that children of God as ours would come to him in repentance and confession. And so you see here, the first step in the verse 1, an assembly of humble repentance. I read, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads." The children of Israel were assembled. The children of Israel were assembled. Now they have all come together, and it is not for jubilation anymore. It is not for partying anymore. It is not for accusing anyone anymore, but it was for only one purpose: to fast and confess their sins. To fast and confess their sins. Assemble with fasting. They assembled with fasting. Fasting showed their lonely, humble state. They confessed, they considered themselves so poor before God that they had no food. They also wanted to say, "We are so troubled by our sins. Food seems unimportant." You see, when you look at fasting in the Old Testament and even through the Bible, during that time, it was mainly staying away from food so that they would pray and seek God's face. And if you do understand the history of those times, you would understand why food, staying away from food, was very important, because it used to take a very long process in cooking. They had to do everything from scratch. They would go to the farms, or even they would go and get the food. It used to take a long process. They would get the seeds or the raw materials that they needed to cook the food, and come home, wash it, grind it. So it used to take a long process for just one small meal to eat. And having to go through all that process meant that the children of God at that time would not have the opportunity to really focus on praying and talking to God. And so they would stay away from cooking, so that if they didn't prioritize eating the food, then they would not have to go through a long process of the preparation of food and cooking it to eat and all that. But in our modern day now, it is not like that in those days. I can just walk into a shop, pick up some frozen meal and come, put it in the fridge, switch the oven on 10 minutes and it is ready. And so you see that to stay away from food is not a big chore these days. To stay away from food. On the other hand, there are other things in our world these days that takes our focus off of God. Things like entertainment and things like just conversing with people, friendships and relationships. Today I'm gonna Skype my sisters. I have sisters in UK. Sometimes I choose a whole day of just Skyping them one after the other, and we'll be spending time talking, catching up, before you realize you have spent about an hour or two talking to people. Sometimes you want to sit down and catch up with programs on the TV. Oh, there are so many miniseries these days. There are so many TV programs, series that you can sit down and spend almost a whole year watching and enjoying. So you find that in this modern day, there are many things that draws our attention from God. And so in my personal view, fasting for me is not just staying away from food, but really separating ourselves from that which draws our attention from having an opportunity to encounter with God. And so these people at this moment are fasting. They showed their lonely, humble state. They considered themselves so poor before God that they had no food. They also wanted to say, we are so terribly, terribly, terrible troubled by our sin. Food seems unimportant. Again, you see another sign that they took here in this passage. In sackcloth, this was wearing rough fabric. In this modern days, there are all sorts of cloth these days. There is silk, there is linen, and I tell you, I like to choose good cloth for my skin. I don't like clothes that I wear and they're scratching on me and it doesn't make me feel comfortable. No, I don't like that. I like to wear clothes that feel good on me. And if you've observed me, I'm very choosy about the clothes that I wear. But in this modern, the same way during those times, people used to choose cloth that were good for their skin. And so they chose to wear sackcloth. Sackcloth is, if you know sack, it's just a simple thread which wasn't done well. It was for keeping their grains and things like that for traveling. And the word of God says that they chose to wear sackcloth. They denied. It's another sign of saying that, God, we need you so much. The value of life is not important to us anymore. Sackcloth is enough. Those cloths, that sackcloth in every home, it's easy to come across it. They were cloth that wasn't needed. They were thrown out. They were used for other things. And they chose to wear these things, saying, Lord, we need you so much. Our comfort is not important to us anymore. We need you so much. Our comfort is not important to us anymore. We are so troubled by our sin, the normal comfort of life are unimportant. Again, they went ahead and put dust on their head. You might think, what kind of people do this? They were mourning. This meant they took little handful of dust and cast them on their heads. This was also to show their lowly state before God and to say, we are so troubled by our sin, the normal comfort of life are unimportant. They brought themselves out of themselves. It wasn't about them anymore, but it was all about this supreme God that they served. All of this reflects a humble attitude of heart. Humble not only towards God, but also humbled towards man. They did this publicly, and others would see them in this public state. It is important. When you are serious about your relationship with God and seeking God, it is important that it gets to a point, if you're really doing it well, people around you must see that this person is serious about their relationship with God. I know a lot of Christians who don't want anyone to know what they are about. Even when they go to work, nobody has to know they are Christians, and nobody can tell they are Christians. But in this case, the children of Israel chose to do it publicly. Publicly. Isn't it amazing that Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me before men on this earth, on that day, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. That is serious. They did this publicly. Surely, there were those among them who said, I won't humiliate myself and join in. Others must have said, I will do it just so others can see that I am spiritual too. But there were many, if not most, who came to God with truly humble, repentant heart. do we go to God with a truly humbled, repented heart? Why do we do the things that we claim to be doing for God? Is it for people to see that we too we are doing something? Or we really, truly are humbly repented before God and we do everything to his honor? 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, a very popular verse, but look at what it says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humility is very important with God. Youth, humility, humble yourself. Fathers, mothers, humble yourself. Young adults here, whoever you are, wherever you are, humble yourself before God and he will elevate you. He will exalt you. Wherever you go, humility has to be part of you. And in this case, the children of God humbled themselves. God says, you do the humble. I have heard so many people pray, oh God, humble me. Excuse me. Don't tell God to humble you. You might not be happy what he does to you. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, it is something you have to do, not God doing it for you. Because when God chooses to humble you, it is to let you know you are nowhere compared to him. You might not be happy what comes your way. Look at the level to which God has reduced Satan. Satan used to be an angel. And today me and you can tell Satan, go away. He has lost his power and authority because he wasn't humble. Humility is very key to God. And when God chooses to humble you, it is to bring you down to your feet, your face, to realize that you are nothing. You remember what he did to Nebuchadnezzar? He let Nebuchadnezzar end up in the wilderness, eating the food of animals. Nebuchadnezzar, the great so-called king, was eating food of animals. Humble yourself. The first point in prayer, why when you are praying, come to God in humility. Remember that you are a creation of God. Remember that it is by his grace you can approach him. Remember that you are for him. You are here today, tomorrow you can be no more. Remember. And when you are praying, bring yourself to that place of humility in prayer. Husbands must do this. Wives must do this. Teachers, whatever your profession is, you might be a manager at your workplace, be a humble person. You might be the senior pastor of this church. I need to learn to be humble. All of us must be humble people because it is the first way to which you choose to approach God. And the people of Israel knew this and they brought themselves to a humble place before their father. Me and you call him our father. We need to be humble to him. So now look at the second point in the verse 2. An assembly to separate themselves. The verse 2 says, then those of Israel's lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. Then those of Israel's lineage separated themselves from all foreigners. Those who were of the pure line of Israel came forth to confess the sin of their nation. They confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. this point that confession is what God's children do. Confession is for God's children. It is what God's children do. So the point here is, what is confession? Confession is an official admittance of a wrongdoing. An official, you realize that, you know what, I messed up here, I did something wrong here, and I admit it that I am wrong. That is confession. And so, I am saying here that the children of Israel, the passage says that the children of Israel chose to separate themselves from foreigners. For years, God had told them to be careful about mingling with people who do not worship the God that they serve. And Israel's problem started with when they started mingling with people of different lineage, people who did not know this God, people who did not worship the God that they worshipped, and they became corrupted. They became corrupted by foreigners and their gods and their idols. You find when we continue to study this passage, you find when they start praying and all that, they talked about the corruption that their forefathers brought upon themselves by relating with foreigners. Foreigners who did not know the God that they worship. And so when you go forward, in John chapter 1, verse 11, all of us here sitting here, we are not Israelites. Is anyone here from Israel? Is anyone here by? No. We are people of different backgrounds. But today, we too have this relationship with God. We enjoy what the Jews enjoy. Why is it so? When you read John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, I'm going to read it. John chapter 1. Verses 11 to 13. And he's talking about Jesus. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human descent or a husband's will, but born of God. Through Jesus Christ, we accepting Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Now we are in the family of God. We are in the family of the Father. And so we can also be separated unto God. And so we have to remember that we are of the Father's family, and repentance needs to be something we do. We belong to our Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we need to learn how to confess our sins. Confession has to be part of us. Confession has to be part of us. And the writer goes ahead to say that they confessed their sins. They confessed their sins. This was important. They had to realize and admit that they were missing the mark. You see, what is a sin? The word that is introduced here as a sin, is its meaning is missing a mark. And even if you know about archery, in archery, when you shoot a target and you miss the target, they don't say you missed the target. They say you have sinned. If any of you were watching the Olympic Games, you would hear them say it a lot. You have sinned. That means missing the mark. And we serve a Supreme Father who is so holy and pure, who says that he is God and he hates sin. Nothing like sin can be found in him. And he has a target. He has a way, a life that we are supposed to live. And when we do not live that life, when we do not meet that standard, we have sinned. We have missed the mark. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. We always miss the mark. As children of God, we are on this earth with Satan. And so long as Satan is on this earth, seeking to tarnish that which God is doing in our life, he will always find ways and means to cause us to do things which are against God's word. And whenever we do something that is against God's word, or we did something that God told us to do and we didn't do, we have missed the mark. You see, when you miss the mark with God, it doesn't matter whether you missed a very huge mark or you missed a small mark. You missed the target. It doesn't matter whether somebody is gay and you are a liar. It doesn't matter whether somebody respects authority and you sleep around. That person that sleeps around and you who is disrespecting authority are both sinners. The gay person is a sinner to that person that is telling lies. And so we have to be very careful. The drunk is equally a sinner to that person that harbors anger, hate, and jealousy in their heart. It is all sin. Anything that is contrary to the word of God, contrary to God, and God chooses to speak to us in various forms through his word, through the Bible. He chooses to speak to us through our conscience, and he chooses to speak to us through legitimate authority. And when we are living a life that is not in alignment with these forms that he chooses to talk to us, we are sinning. And so we need to become these children that are indeed always confessing our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So confession always tells us that when a child of God confesses, he's saying, God, you are true and I am a liar. You affirm God's word. So what do you have to confess? What do you have to say sorry about? What do you have to admit about? You know, when you do this, you are doing one thing. You are telling God that you are true and I'm a liar. Your word is true and I'm a liar. When you confess, you are telling God his spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to that which you are doing that is not wrong, that is not right before God. And when he points it out to you and you say, Lord, I am sorry, the truth dwells in you. So confession has to become very important in our lives. Children here, youth, wherever, whoever you are, never, never be arrogant. Never say, I am not going to say sorry. I am not going to repent. Never only look at things from your perspective. I am right and it is okay. No. Ask yourself, is there any way I am missing the mark before God? Don't point what people did that made you do what you did. Ask yourself, have I sinned against God? And it has to be very important. You see, the child of God has to be quick to confess. And the iniquities of their father. Some people look at this as, oh, there is a curse on the children of Israel. It is not looking at it as a curse. When you study the book of Ezekiel, God says that he will judge the children who choose to walk in the steps of their fathers. And so I want to take a little few minutes here just to explain they confess the sins of their fathers. Ezekiel chapter 18 makes us understand that God does not punish children because they come from a certain root. God is not going to punish you because your parents are sinners. Because your father is a drug addict, or your father is a rapist, or your father is in jail for something, or you, God is not going to judge us because of that. But he's going to judge us for our own actions. You know, it is easy. There's a wise saying, a few wise sayings. That there is one that says, the fruit does not fall far from its plant. The tree, the fruit of a tree does not fall far from its tree. There's another wise saying that says that a bird does not give birth to a crab. And another wise saying says, like mother, like daughter. You see, the Israelites understood that their forefathers have lived a certain lifestyle, and it was easy for them to have also grown up walking in the steps of their forefathers. It wasn't that God was punishing the children. It is because they also, because that is what they know, it would be easy for them to do that. If your mother is a gossip, you grow up becoming a potential gossip. If your father is a good tradesman, a businessman, you grow up becoming a potential good business guy. Look at, an example is our president, Donald Trump. His father was a very successful real estate man. By God's grace, look at President Donald Trump. He got there through real estate and business and stuff like that. He learned the trade from his father. And so, in a family, when a family opens the door to the devil in certain areas, wife beaters, being abusive husbands and wife, the children grow up also learn becoming abusive husbands and wife. It wasn't that God has cursed them. The children made the decision to live according to what they know. And so that is why it is important, even before these children of Israel went to God asking for forgiveness, to separate themselves from the bad knots among them. I'm always keen in advising people, be careful about the people you keep around you. They will corrupt you, and they will cause you to sin, to think, to do things in certain ways that does not glorify God. And when you sin against God, forget being blessed by God. And that is what is going on here. They realize that, Lord God, our parents have sinned against you. We are sorry for what they did. And we also accept accountability for our actions. And we are saying, sorry. When I get time in this house, more time, I will teach on these things, things that we inherit from our parents, spirits that are passed on to our children. But the point here is this. They confessed for the sins of their fathers. Whoever you are, wherever you've come from, ask God for forgiveness. Americans, ask God for God to forgive you for the sins of our forefathers. There are things Americans have done. If we grow up the same way, thinking that it is okay, our forefathers lived this life and we are also okay. I know a certain guy who was telling me, I'm an American. Don't mess around with an American. We will retaliate. It is good. But you get the point here? Retaliation. And what does the Bible say? Vengeance is mine. And so you might think it is an American thing to always retaliate. But the word of God says, vengeance is mine. Do not retaliate. Revengeance. People always like to revenge. They did this to us and we are going full power. We are going to also deal with them. That is a sin. You see? Be careful about your culture. Things that you call culture. Things that you hold on to. This is how I was brought up. My daddy was a very hard-working man. He was never home. And so you too, you grow up thinking that you're supposed to be a hard-working man and never be home, taking care of your home. Don't get it wrong. Confession. You know the things your parents do. A person that is humble will always admit that my father is wrong. And Lord God, I apologize for him, and I also apologize for my actions if I'm behaving and thinking like him. Forgive me. I want to start afresh with you. And if you do that, Ezekiel chapter 18 makes us understand that God is going to bless you. That is how you break yourself from your father's hustles. I come from a family, my background, the men abuse women. One man gave birth to over 99 kids. At his funeral, kids were coming, claiming to be his father, and they don't even know, the rest of the kids don't even know them. There was another guy that, he was rich, he had so many kids. At his funeral, the kids were fighting against each other. And so when I grew up and I saw the lifestyle of my father, when I came to know Jesus, I said to myself, I refuse to grow up like my father. Lord Jesus, help me. And I repent for the sins of my father. And I said, Lord Jesus, help me to be a guy that understands to live with one woman for the rest of my life. God says he will bless you. You will not suffer in the suffering of your fathers. Make a decision. I refuse to suffer the suffering of my mother. I refuse to suffer the suffering of my father. Whatever spirit that my forefathers have opened a door to that is controlling affairs in my family, I refuse that spirit will control me. You need to confess before God the sins of your parents and ask God to also forgive you if you have been following in their footsteps, and ask God to lead you forward. Lord Jesus, help me. That should be your prayer. And so when they did these things, the word of God says that they stood and confessed. You see, I want to touch on this a little bit and we're going to close soon. Confession is in two ways. There is the confession that is called the sinner's confession, the salvation confession. When you come to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord Jesus, I understand that I am a sinner and you are the Son of God. You were given to die for my sins. That is the first point. But after you do this confession, the word of God says that now you are a child of God. You have been accepted into the family of God. But you see, the confession does not end there. Just as your faith grows, the same way your confession grows. So this kind of confession helps us with our relationship with the Father. Because we will, as for human beings, we are with the devil on this earth, we will always sin. But the opportunity we have is that the blood of Jesus will always make room for us. Jesus has come to atone for us that we can always say, Father, forgive us, and we are forgiven. And so, as children of God that are looking to have an intimacy with God, a rich relationship with God, we should be quick to always confess our sins. That is why in prayer, we say, Lord, forgive my sins. After you praise him and after you adore him and you worship him and all that, you say, Father, forgive my sins. In any way I have sinned against you, the things that I know and the things I don't know, I say, please forgive me. Because you want to have an intimate relationship with the Father. You cannot come to the Lord pretending as though you are okay. No. You remember the passage we read? If anyone says they do not sin, they call God a liar. And so this morning we are coming to have our communion. Reflect on your life. Ask yourself, Father, is there anything I'm doing? And you see, the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to you. Am I offending you in any way? Is there a sin that I need to repent and confess of? Do I have to confess for the sins of my fathers so that I can start a new life with you? These are things you need to check yourself, ask yourself, check your heart, and ask God to forgive you. Let's talk to the Father.